So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There once was a teenage boy who came home to tell his mother that he had become a Christian. His mother was very alarmed, thinking that he'd joined some kind of a cult. "They've brainwashed you," she said. To which the son said, "If you had seen what was in my brain, you'd realize it needed washing." You know what the really funny thing is about that is that it's not Christianity that brainwashes people. In our world today, we are consistently being told that the life we have is all there is, and that the best way to live a good life is to have more for ourselves. The subtleties of advertising that get into our subconscious make us dissatisfied with what is real. And there are these voices around us that try to convince us that everyone is out for themselves. So why shouldn't we be out for ourselves too? That is the brainwashing we experience on a daily basis. We even brainwash ourselves. We return again and again in our minds to arguments we've had, even arguments with people we love, wishing we would have said this or that, to the point where we feel emotionally as if we are back in that moment, bringing our brain to live into a present that isn't now. As N.T. Wright says, it's the present world that brainwashes us. It's the gospel that kickstarts the brain into working properly for the first time. Here at the well, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman about water that will become in us a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Here with Jesus and the living water, we will take into our souls the kind of water that will keep us from ever being thirsty again. There's a later scene in this chapter of John where Jesus tells his disciples that he has food to eat that they don't know about. And when they question him about this, he says, "My food is to do the work of God who sent me." Jesus' water of eternal life, his food of doing the will of God, these are the food and the drink we need to wake up from the brainwashing effect of living in our world. Jesus often uses words in a way that takes us from the surface to the depths. Water isn't just what flows in streams or comes in cups. Water is the offer of new life. And it comes not just to his disciples, but to a woman who's from a land that is supposed to be other. We know that this is a woman who's experienced some of the worst of what life has to offer. Either by death or by divorce, she has had 5 husbands, and she has experienced grief over and over again. Jesus offers the water of new life to this woman whose life has felt anything but blessed. In the context of the conversation he later has with his disciples, this is an example of Jesus doing the work God sent him to do, proclaiming the offer of a water that will gush up in people, not just to perfect people, not just to already religious people, but all people can have this water. All people can let this living water of God's good news grow us and change us and lead us to the values that are eternal, to the life that is eternal. About 10 days ago now, someone brought me what looked like a bunch of sticks in a vase of water, explaining that they were forsythia. Now, as someone who doesn't really know anything about flowers, I chose to believe that this person knew what she was talking about. And sure enough, within a few days, my office was host to beautiful forsythia that had soaked up the water and bloomed. It occurred to me that God sees us the way my gardener friend saw the forsythia, full of potential, ready to bloom if we would only allow the living water to gush up in us, to grow us into who we can be. Here is Jesus, ready to offer us the water we need to live in the world together with kindness and compassion, with a willingness to love our friends and our enemies. We can do that when we know that this life and its failures and its successes, that this life is not all that there is. We can do that when we remember that God's love does not die when our human life is at an end, that nothing can separate us from God's love, not even death. There are times in our lives when we are afraid, when we get a diagnosis that is frightening, when someone we love is in trouble. We need to stop where we are and breathe. We need to stop and soak in the love of God, the living water that is in us, reminding us that we are not alone. We are not deserted. We are not walking on this road by ourselves. What's more, we are not only walking toward death. We are walking in the strength of the eternal life that Jesus proclaims to us, that Jesus proclaims to the people he meets on the street, that Jesus proclaims especially to the people that seem at a distance, like they don't deserve it. We don't earn living water. We don't earn eternal life. It is a gift that Jesus gives because we are beloved by God, and we are forgiven by God, and we are redeemed by God, and we are made in the image of God. Jesus gives us the most wonderful ways to remember who he was and is and who he sees in us. Water. It's everywhere, and it's already in us. The cold water we drink from the cup can remind us of the water that will never run out. The water that Jesus tells us to let well up in us like a living stream. Can you feel it? As I wrote these words, I could feel it. I could feel this water that Jesus promised us trying to flow through me, to let it change me and fill me. Sometimes it's easy to feel the Spirit flowing in us, grounding us in the reality of God's love and Christ's way of looking at the world as ready for redemption, ready to flourish. Other times we're more like the rock that won't move when the water hits it over and over and over again until, to our surprise, the stream begins to dent it. And finally, the water bursts through and we are moved in ways that we never imagined. So, where are you today? Are you at the watering hole, hoping Jesus might show up? Are you worried about somebody else, wondering if you might just be the one that could offer them the cup of cold water that will change their lives forever as you point past yourself to Jesus and the water of eternal life? Are you ready to drink from the water and let your life be changed, redeemed? Jesus' offer is for you and for me and for everyone we've ever met and everyone we ever will meet. May we be open to the living water wherever it will move us along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.